Welcome to the Infotainment Podcast, initiating startup sequence.
Hi, my name is Randy, and welcome to this episode of Infotainment. I will be your round mound of podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. First up, I have a little recording. It is, in my estimation, the best version of Rocket Man. Even better than Elton John has ever sang it. But it is very well done. And for you Star Trek fans, I'm sure you will enjoy it. It is sung by, of course, Mr. William Shatner.
I'm truly proud once again to present my Rocket Man as interpreted by our host, William Shatner. Thank you.
Packed my bags. Last night, free flight. 0 hour. 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high. As a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space. On such a dying planet. It's gonna be a long, long time. The touchdown brings me back again to find I'm not the man they think I am back home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out his fuse out here alone. I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown bring me round again and find I'm not the man they think I am at all. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out his fuse out here alone. Mars ain't the kind of place to raise a kid. In fact, it's cold as hell. And there's no one there to raise them. If you did, and all this science, I don't understand. Just a job. 5 days a week. Rocket Man. And I think it's going to be a long, long time. The touchdown brings me around again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh no, no, no. Rocket Man, burning out his fuse out here. Hello. I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out his fuse out here alone. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
This is my ode to William Shatner, the best version of Rocket Man ever done. Now, that was a great version of Rocket Man, but I'm going to take it a step further. You haven't heard Rocket Man sung in the original Klingon version. I don't do the whole song. It would take forever, but I do it up to burn your fuse out there on the song. So here it goes. Gopak, Bybuck, Hotchditch, Ram, Preflight, Pog, Rip, 9 a.m., El Jim, I'm going to Jen as a kite. Jick. Je miss the Terra Vage much, je. Miss my Quanal. Oh, it's lonely out in La. On such a timeless flight. Elje. Quub. Oh's gonna cue a long, long. Ha. Till touchdown brings you round again to a gym. I'm not the lad chab quab je. I'm at a ja ah quo quo quo. Jahim abba lad. Rocket Man there. Ba lad burning out his fuse up. Ga Nightbutt. After a little Hennessy, and not exactly the greatest time for it, but it must be 5 o'clock somewhere. I don't want to torture your ears for the whole song, but some of the words do not translate into Klingon. So... But that's the way it goes. It does translate Rocket Man, though. Jim, ballad. Let me try this. I miss the Earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight. And I think it's going to be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. No, 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 no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man, burning out his fuse up here alone. Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as hell. And there's no one here to raise them if you did. And all this science, I don't understand. It's just my job. 5 days a week. A rocket man. Rocket man. And I think I'm going to be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. I don't think I'm ready for any of those singing songs. What are they called? American Idol? Or what's the one? The Voice? I don't think I'm ready for that yet. But that's what a little Hennessy will do for you in the morning. And actually, it is Hennessy. I'm not joking about that this time. I don't know whatever possessed me to sing some of that in my own voice. Maybe it was the Hennessy. I got this thing over my Facebook a few days ago. It told me to ask Google why cornflakes were invented. So I'm going to do that right now. Hey Google, why were cornflakes invented?
According to news.com.au, he invented cornflakes in 1878 in the hope that plain food would stop people masturbating.
I was having a little problem with my phone when I did that, and I stumbled over a few words. I almost said coin flakes. But Google understood it, and I got the appropriate response. If Mr. Kellogg were here today, I would tell him his concept for coin flakes was an epic fail. I do not know why I'm having such a problem with the word corn. Maybe I should say it a few times over and over again. But we shall keep the podcast moving along. Yes, today has not started out well. I feel like I've been a little sucker punched. I was trying to walk down to my bank. I was hurrying up in a crosswalk while there was a car waiting for me to get across. And I don't know why my foot stuck in one place. There was nothing there to trip me, but I fell down and felt like an idiot and got a nice strawberry on my knee. And then came home to pay a bunch of bills. So it's a great way to start your day. And I know I haven't been pumping them out this podcast recently, but I had to take a little sabbatical and recharge my batteries. Maybe that's what it is. I know that some of the podcasts, quote, professionals have wondered whether podcast was originally a good name for what they did. The early pioneers of podcasting. Maybe we can come up with a different name, like Radio Netcast or something like that, for at least this show, and see what happens. But we shall traverse on. My plastic is kind of itching to buy some new electronic gear. I don't know which way to go, whether to get a new phone or new computer, new pad. It should be a Dell pad. It wouldn't be an iPad. I don't have any Apple products. I'm not an Apple fanboy from some of the videos I've watched, but I might be in the same boat as far as the battery is concerned, because recently, well, a few months ago, I had to update my OS on this phone, and now some things are starting to mess up that I had set and I did not change, but they don't work. I used to be able to say the word answer and the phone would answer. That's still on in my settings. I don't know what's causing that to not work. It's a Samsung 7, so I'm a little behind the times as far as the Galaxy S versions are going. But I know the Galaxy S11 or whatever they're going to call it, Galaxy One, is coming out probably early next year. And I'm going to see what the price drop is on the 10 and the 10 Plus. I might go that route. I do not need the Note phone. I figure I got Post-it note paper here. I don't have any real need for a S Pen and hand-waving gestures. But I have seen the Galaxy Fold in use, and that is a unique thing, but you got to treat it really carefully, and it's Got a price tag to match. I think it's over $2,000. Here I swore I'd never pay over $600 for a smartphone. But all these influencers, they got to have the latest and greatest. I kind of respect the ones that actually go out and buy the stuff. And I don't know if most of them keep it or how they work that, but the ones that just get sent stuff and then customers have to wait because things are back ordered, I do not like that. But I guess that's what the price you pay to get some early reviews on products like the Rodecaster Pro. We shall see. I made good use out of that. I've actually made my Blue Yeti Pro into a better microphone with all the filtering and stuff like that. I haven't had to use my noise reducing effect as much. Well, I think I'm going to move on to another topic. I haven't decided which yet. There is, I'm not usually scared by, I've watched enough of these shows, so usually it's just their reactions to stuff. It's on the Travel Channel, which is just as well. They could rename it TGN, the Ghost Network, because that's basically all that's on there anymore. They used to have Andrew Zimmern, but he made a bad crack about Chinese restaurants in the Midwest. And I think his time with the Travel Channel was coming to an end. But the two shows I watch is Ghost Adventures and The Dead Files. The Dead Files is a very interesting show. It does show you another aspect of what at least this Amy Allen sees in the afterlife. And I do believe she has some abilities, knows how to deal with them, with people. And also Ghost Adventures, which is the highest rated ghost one, I think, on the Travel Channel. The one show that did freak me out, a while back, they had this conspiracy theorist. I'd never seen the guy before. And he was talking about this place in Ohio. It used to be a town. It was called Boston, Ohio. And I'm going to see if I can find enough information on it to make it into a good thing. But you got, let's see, strange creatures in the woods with like antlers that people have sworn that they have found dead bodies without their bones and just their body there. And occult practices, animal sacrifices. I did see an underground bunker, which they did go into. It was kind of weird. They went out in this field and they said, this rock didn't used to be here. And it had a pentagram symbol on it. And it was just like a fake rock. They just lifted it up and there was like nothing there. It was just like a shell. And then there was a glass window like there. So they busted that and went down in there. And there was a whole government bunker down there with conference rooms, a kitchen, and a big like safe like device. And I don't know what was going on there or what they were trying to do, but it did look like people left there in a hurry. Chairs were strewn about, and they did have a safe-like device in there. I don't know if they were trying to keep the animal that was making noises in the woods. Some army people recorded some really strange stuff. One of this guy's platoon was there to videotape structures and things in the town. The town was abandoned because the government took it over under the clause of eminent domain. and everyone had to leave. And these people went out in the woods and heard some really strange noises and swore there was a creature with huge antlers, and that supposedly was one of them that was deboning people. He had some footage of one of his partners with a bag on his head and some hooded people there, and they were going to use him as a sacrifice, but I think they got scared off. I don't know what happened. But this conspiracy guy found that footage that this army guy had hidden, and he told his superiors he didn't know where the footage had gone because he wanted to save that. He thought it would have been destroyed, which it probably would have. I don't know. It was just totally bizarre. Two conspiracy guys, they went down into that government bunker-like place, and unfortunately, they didn't have the right equipment. They just had their phones, and they were videotaping around, and oh, I don't have much power left, and blah, blah, blah. Well, when you go there, why don't you go prepared to do something? The next time they went there, they discovered that that place where they entered had been cemented over. So I don't know if the whole bunker was destroyed or if it just cemented that entrance. But we'll look up some more information on that. I did find some articles about Boston, Ohio, a.k.a. Helltown. And this is an article, 20 facts about it. Helltown, it is a home of legends distinguished from each other with series of variations. All of these have led the Boston Township to be known as a haunted site. The Satanic Church in the Helltown. Here, most of the people in this area go to the church to worship devils, and Black Mass is conducted. And the crosses all over the church are placed upside down. Stanford Road rumors. Travelers found that there is a vast drop-off aside the Stanford Road, which has led to the illusion of the end of the world because of the sudden stop at the winding road. The spectral vehicle. A vehicle that conveys the coffin towards the grave chases people after dark. People have reported that they have been actually chased by a guy on a spectral or in a spectral hearse. This thing is not written the best. I will try to fix that while reading it. A spectral hearse, which later on disappears in the light. The highway to Helltown, Ohio, a male killer has been noted with his axe, has been seen chasing motorists who travel on the highway late at night.
Monster kill!
People have seen that. Road closed street signs towards Helltown. There are two long roads that have been reported as dead ends for many reasons. Though both of these roads continue, people believe that it is the Satanists who have put up street signs as road closed to keep people away from their hideouts. The Slaughterhouse of Ohio. I think that show did go into the building that was considered the slaughterhouse. And they found a device for chopping off deer's antlers. I think they did see that on that program I watched. People have seen ghostly faces whenever they look inside the spooky windows of the mansion. They call the slaughterhouse a mansion. I don't know. This isn't the greatest thing. I might go on to another article, but and there is an abandoned funeral home. In this former town beside the cemetery where many candles are seen burning often at late at late night, often late at night. Crybaby Bridge footprints. It is reported that if passerbys walk away with their keys, the car will get covered with dust, and a few footprints of a child or children are all over the car, and it will still be running but locked. The toxicity in Ohio, I think there was a chemical thing put there by the government to kind of keep people away. The spill of chemicals all over the ground named the area as Toxicity, Ohio's only national park. Yeah, that'd be cool. They should put a haunted attraction through that place and for Halloween if you really want to be scared. Helltown remains on the fringes of the national park, and it is an abandoned town. Moreover, the road here has been blocked, but reports of much strange activity around the area that has never stopped. They did have an interview with a guy that was deaf, and he signed what he saw. He went into the woods with two of his friends, but they were spooked, but he came out, but he never saw his friends again. So, I don't know. It's just weird. Let's see. The abandoned house. There are abandoned houses. There is an abandoned house in the woods, and here only one light appears all the dark night in the window. My God, who wrote this? The school bus legend. Late after a bus accident, sometimes a spirit of a man holding a cigarette is seen, whereas other times the children scream out loud in the bus. Connecting Boston with Children of the Corn. Reports say that sometimes connects this town with the horror movie Children of the Corn. Bodies in the Woods. Whether it is a coincidence or not, people have found numerous bodies dumped in Helltown Woods. I would assume that would be satanic sacrifices. The Ghost Town. People residing in this region suddenly find park officials wandering around their lawns. When they get close, they vanish. I had to edit that too, the way it was written. Bizarre mutations. The government covers up the fact that there are oil spills, and this has caused bizarre mutations in the area. The Dark Secret. Helltown is a forbidden place where ghosts and spirits lurk. The town is cursed and frightens people after dark. The Gore Orphanage. That's a nice name there. This orphanage was destroyed by a fire along with the children and the employees. The Mudhouse Mansion. This is an abandoned mansion, and it is rumored that the spirit of those families who once resided here still haunt the house. The Haunted Tunnel. There is a legend that the spirit of a man who died instantly by a train accident keeps wandering the track. Let me go on to another thing. I typed in about the government bunker there. Helltown, Ohio. The tragic reality of a town riddled with rumors of haunts, chemical spills, and serial killers. The abandoned village, now colorfully known as Helltown, is purportedly teeming with crybaby bridges, spook school buses, mass human sacrifices, scenes, and a mutant python for good measure. Sounds right out of Harry Potter movie. No mention of the bunker yet. I'm surprised that nothing has been mentioned of that yet. The extreme folklore surrounding the region formerly known as Boston, Ohio, is ironic, since the only verifiable legend about the town is that it is deserted. This would have been during the Gerald Ford administration for a very frighteningly tragic reason. Founded in 1806, Boston's village's only original claim to fame was its standing as the oldest village in Summit County. Boston's relatively uneventful life took a turn for the worse in 1974 when it became the unlucky victim of a nationwide anxiety over the country's disappearing forest land. Using the laws of eminent domain, President Gerald Ford signed a bill that gave the federal government's National Park Service jurisdiction to appropriate land for the establishment of national parks. The NPS decided that the Boston Township would be the new home for the Cuyahoga Valley National Park and began buying the properties of its longtime residents. The sentiment among citizens who had no choice but to leave their homes was expressed in a message scribbled on the wall of one of the houses. Now we know how the Indians felt. If you're on Indian burial grounds, that's a recipe for some hauntings, I found out through watching Ghost Adventures and the Dead Files. It doesn't say that specifically, but maybe that'll come up. The empty homes were boarded up and adorned with U.S. no trespassing signs. The government quickly fell behind on its plan to create the park, and the village sat neglected. The remaining buildings, remnants of a vanished town, have created a fertile soil for the innumerable urban legends that have popped up over the years. The hellish aura of the area only continued to grow when the NPS acquired KREJCI dump in 1985. Rangers visiting the site became ill and covered in rashes. It was soon discovered the dump was highly polluted with toxic chemicals improperly disposed of. The dump became a Superfund site, and as of 2015, the NPS is wrapping up restoration of the area. There are a number of myths surrounding the vacant properties, but some have been a bit more durable than others. There is a Presbyterian church which is said to have been built by Satanists, complete with upside-down crosses. The abandoned bus is said to be host to lingering ghosts, and maybe most outlandish of all, there is talk of mutants who were created by the Kredzi, I guess they would pronounce that, dump spill, including a monstrous snake known as the Peninsula Python. However, most of the myths have been conclusively refuted. The upside-down crosses affixed to the local church are part of the building's architectural style and have no roots in satanic activity. The haunted bus was a temporary home of a family awaiting house repairs. These explanations, of course, don't diminish the public's enthusiasm for legends of unusual occurrence in Boston, Ohio. I did tweet to Zach Baggins, the head of Ghost Adventures, about doing a program or programs on this area, and some people picked up the banner on that and forwarded it to other members of the Ghost Adventures and their researcher. So maybe someday, but of course I didn't get any direct tweet to me about it. I know they're coming up with some shows on serial killers, so maybe in the future. Let's see another, for instance, the city still celebrates Python Day in honor of the legendary giant snake. There is no mention of the giant thing with antlers, there have been people that have the area that is marked that you shouldn't go in, it has a W on it. They're like concrete pillars. I forget the name of what they call that creature, but that was the one that was supposedly deboning its victims and just leaving a shell of a human corpse. But that's the end of that one. Okay, here's somebody investigating the real story behind Ohio's Helltown Legends, Lies, and Lost Truths. Well, there is a sign that says, "Welcome to Helltown. A nice place to visit, a better place to live." Maybe say a better place to leave. It was about 20 years ago that I was formally introduced to or indoctrinated into what you might today call the Helltown experience. One cool late summer night, I somehow managed to tag along with my sister and a few other older high school students on a joyride through Butane Town. Our guide that evening was 3 or 4 years my senior, one of the more popular guys in school, who would pass me in the hall shouting "lima bean" for some reason. He decided that I look like a lima bean. Well, there's a real worthwhile thing to put in this article, and that becomes one of my strangest childhood nicknames. I was painfully shy, awkward freshman, so being invited for a backseat ride through our infamously creepy local ghost town, both completely unexpected and the highlight of my year. It was twilight when we reached the bottom of the winding road, passing the satanic church with its eerie red basement glow, and making a right turn on Stanford Road, where the numerous tales were born. And so our guide began telling the story of Butane Town, or Mutane Town. According to some folks, the name supposedly came from an accident involving a truck carrying fuel or a toxic waste dump or something along those lines. The toxic waste version resulted in rumors of mutated people hiding out in the woods, which is where the Mutane or the Mutant Town names come into play. Let's see. We first passed the slaughterhouse on the corner with its blood-stained barn, where more than pigs were said to have been massacred. Down the road further was the witch's house, which seemed far from deserted, with its interior lights on and the blue glow of a television visible through the window. Well, that's weird. At this point, the driver slowed down as we came upon the infamous school bus permanently parked on the side of the road. Dark, grimy, and foreboding, the rusting bus was said to be the scene of a killing spree where at least a dozen children were hacked to death. None of us saw the famed bloody handprints in the windows, but we didn't get out to take a closer look. Well, that's where you were like Ghost Adventures probably would be a good thing to go through. Send Amy Ellen in there with the dead files. Do a whole investigation of it. That would be awesome. As we approached the sharp turn at the hill, I scanned the dark, overgrown fields for the invisible cemetery, said to be visible only at night when the tombstones glowed. Yet I saw nothing, but we were quickly approaching the highlight of the trip, the end of the world. As was a tradition of the time, the driver revved his engines and floored the gas pedal to reach the top of the hill. At its peak, the road appeared to vanish before us, and the car was briefly airborne before slamming down on the steep downgrade on the other side. We passed the crazy house and reached the end of our journey at Brandywine Falls. The modern hell town that people visit is just a shadow of its former creepy self. While the stories continue to grow and evolve, many of the landmarks have faded away. The abandoned bus was towed away many years ago. The Stanford Road is closed to vehicles between the steepest hill and Brandywine Falls. The few houses remaining are either occupied by residents or owned by the National Park Service. You mean there are actually people living there? Holy crap, I wouldn't want to live 50 miles within this place. Few abandoned buildings remain, yet this doesn't stop autumn thrill seekers from searching the area for robe-clad cult members. Yeah, and that would unnerve me a little bit to see that out in the woods there. And the infamous truck with one headlight. Perhaps this is partially due to the low-budget indie horror film June 9, based on the Helltown legend and filmed in the area. June 9, never heard of it. Maybe look it up on Netflix. One of the most comprehensive online resources for the truth behind Helltown has been written by James Willis on his Ghosts of Ohio website, detailing the many legends as well as the history of the area. Originally, this was the town of Boston, which sprang up on the Ohio and Erie Canal in the early 1800s. But it has origins much older than that, aside from the many native tribes who found this place inviting. A French trading post was situated at this point during the late 17th century. Today, the area has been absorbed by the village of Boston Heights. Boston itself is no longer an actual town. Oh, man.
Our universe is doomed! Doomed!
Well, since it is Shocktober, I think we'll revisit the Helltown maybe in my next episode to find out some more information. Why would you have an underground bunker there with a huge safe-like device and a lot of old equipment, and it looks like they left in a hurry? Equipment dating back to the Gerald Ford era. But we may look at some other spooky stuff. Well, I think it's time to pop and drop this episode to the interwebs. There are ways you can support this program. You can subscribe, listen, and download. And tell your friends about this program called Infotainment. You can tweet my Twitters at Randy Podcaster. You can email me at randyms12@gmail.com. You can become a patron of Infotainment at patreon.com/infotainment. You can check out my Infotainment Facebook page, and whatever else. Here's wishing you a happy day and a happy ending tonight.